Thanks for listening to the Suzy Larson Life podcast, available thanks to support from listeners like you. It's only just a matter of welcome to Suzy Larson Live. Always so honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. I'm not sure if you've noticed, but I've been gone this past week. We pre-recorded most of last week's shows because I had back-to-back-to-back speaking events, so I was on the road, and I'm so grateful to be back live. I got to tell you, God is on the move, and we saw Him do just amazing, miraculous things, but I would say, when I'm away, I miss you in a significant way, so it's really great to be back live with you today. We've got an important show for you today, and I really believe by the time the hour is over, you're going to feel encouraged, inspired, and just determined to lay hold of the promises of God over your life. And before we get my guest on today, though, I want to just take a moment to just say a word about Israel. Our hearts are grieving. We're praying, interceding like crazy, and I'm just trusting that you are as well. And if you remember, we have Tom and Joanne Doyle on as often as we can get them to get a faith perspective on the Middle East. And they've said many times that there are also Palestinian Christians who grieve over the actions of Hamas over and over again. They feel like they're at the mercy of Hamas, but they know they're in the mercies of God. And so remember those Palestinian Christians as well. The whole thing is just so unbelievable. And I want to pray, but actually I want to bring my guest on. This is sort of a different order that I do things. I'll give him an official introduction in a moment, but I'll tell you, Pastor Aaron Burke joins me today to talk about his new book, The Unfair Advantage, Seven Keys from the Life of Joseph for Transforming Any Obstacle into an Opportunity. Let's get him on right away, and then I'll give you a proper introduction, Aaron, after we pray together. But first of all, welcome to the show. It's such a pleasure to meet you.
You know, it is such an honor to be with you and grieving with you and with millions and millions of Christians all over the world of what's going on in the Middle East. And prayer changes things. So I think we can pray and see God do something miraculous.
All right. Well, I'm going to pray and have you pray, and then we'll give you the introduction that you deserve, sir. But Father in heaven, we glorify your name. We come before you. We honor you as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus, you're faithful. And we just trust you. You ask us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. You ask us to bless Israel. So we do. We bless Israel. We speak Jesus over Israel. We know there are many lost Israelis that don't know you, that are calling on God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob even now. May they get visions of you. May they see you, Lord. May they encounter you in a way that changes them forever. And Lord God, for the hostages, we beg you for mercy. God, we beg for mercy by some way, shape, or I just pray, God, that you would grant them favor with their captors. I've read scripture in the Word of times when that's happened. Give them favor with their captors and somehow set them free. But we ask you, God, foil the plans of the wicked. Establish the plans of the righteous. I'm thinking of Psalm 75:10 now. You said, I will cut off the strength of the wicked and increase the power of the godly. Would you do that in this situation, Lord? We pray that you would intervene in a way that only you can, that everybody would know that you are who you say you are. God, forgive us for the countless ways that we live that's contrary to your will and your way. Help us to see this moment in history as a reminder that you are God, and we are to revere and honor you with our whole lives. And Lord, we pray for our brothers and sisters around the world. We just say, may your kingdom come and will be done in Jesus' name.
Lord, we speak peace over the Middle East right now. Lord, we thank you that you're a God that with one word can bring peace. And I do pray that you would do that. Bring peace and at the same time, bring justice. Where there's been wrongdoing, God, you would bring justice. But Lord, we think of the people who are suffering on both sides, who are just sitting there right now in the middle of the night, scared in their homes, not knowing what's gonna happen. Jesus, would you comfort? Would you reveal yourself in a supernatural way to those in the Middle East right now? Lord, they need the solution. It's not going to be something in the government. It's not going to be a war. The solution is the gospel. The gospel is what changes lives. It changes hearts. And I pray that somehow in this bad scenario, that you would turn it around for the good, and that it would be an avenue for the gospel to go forth, for lives to be transformed for eternity. We pray for your gospel to go forth. We pray for the Christians that are in that area, that they could be a light during this time. We think of the missionaries, yes, the churches that are in those areas that have been working hard ground in Palestine and in Israel for years. God, let this be an opportunity for them to be a light, to be a source of hope. And we just believe that you will redeem this situation for your good and for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Mm.
Amen. Somebody got to text me an amen. All right. My guest today is Aaron Burke. He's the lead pastor of Radiant Church, which he and his wife Katie started in 2013 after selling everything and moving in faith to Tampa Bay. His passions are building the local church and helping Christians live into their God-given potential. Aaron and his wife have been married since 2010 and have five beautiful children. He loves to travel, spend time with his family, and do CrossFit. And again, the title of his book is The Unfair Advantage, Seven Keys from the Life of Joseph for Transforming any obstacle into an opportunity. And I got to read this. He says this: we live life forward, but understand life backward. The only way to truly embrace hard seasons is to know these seasons are frustrating, but also foundational. Our lives might look strange, but our God is very strategic. When you look backward, you'll see how every difficult moment was developmental for where God was taking you. Aaron, thank you for joining me, jumping in such a, we have a kind of a format for the show, but I just thought we got to pray. So thank you for joining me, brothers. Good to have you on the show today.
It is an honor to be with you. And what a great way to start. You know, the Bible says we bless Israel, then we will be blessed. And I want my life to be blessed. So we're going to continue to speak blessings over that part of the world.
Come on. Amen. Well, we start every day with this question: what's the Lord been talking to you about these days? And it really doesn't even have to connect with your book. It can, but just in your time with God, what word has he been bringing to you these days?
You know, this morning, during my Bible reading plan, I'm reading the Bible this year chronologically. And one of the scriptures that stood out to me was that the Bible says in Mark 3:14, he appointed the 12 so that they may be with him. And then they might be sent out to preach and have authority over demons, to drive out demons. And I thought that was very interesting. It really spoke to me in my season I'm in right now, that our first calling is to be with him. And, you know, I've read that verse so many times before. I never thought that the first assignment was not to preach. It was not to do the Great Commission. It was not to overcome the enemy. It was just to be with Jesus. And I'm just being drawn back just to that personal time and that connection with him. And it's something that the Lord's been doing deep in me lately.
Yeah. I love that so much. I love how living and breathing his word is, you know, and that's why I asked that question. And so it's food for our soul as well. So I would love a little backstory on your faith journey, specifically how the message of the unfair advantage, you saw that operating in your own life.
Yeah, well, you know, as everybody thinks, and we all know it, that life is unfair. We all go through seasons where they're just difficult, they're frustrating. And I've lived through it. I've lived through, you know, a divorce with my parents. I mean, my parents got through a terrible divorce, addictions with my dad, situations I grew up with. I'm never really a great student. I got called into ministry, got saved at 16 years old, called into ministry, and then got kicked out of my local Christian school at the same time. And so I just realized that the dream that God put in my heart and the path to get there was really painful and really tough. And I realized that's kind of how God gets us to our destiny. And so this is where it's the story of my life, but it's really the story of Joseph in the scripture. But I actually think it's everybody's story. Everybody's story, there's some kind of dream, some kind of thing that God puts in them that they know they're marked for something significant. But then God puts us on a path that I call very painful. And it's a path filled with very difficult scenarios. And there was a girl on our staff years ago that I was praying for. This is right before the whole world kind of shut down during COVID. And I was praying for her during a season of prayer and fasting. And as I was praying for her, I'm praying that, you know, it's unfair what she went through growing up. It's unfair what happened with her parents. It's unfair the way she was abused and neglected. Unfair how she's been overlooked. And as I was praying it, I felt the Holy Spirit speak to me and said, "Aaron, it's unfair, but it's for her advantage." And I wrote out that phrase, the unfair advantage. And I realized that if we can learn to really make the most of unfair seasons and react to them in a God-honoring way, we can turn that unfair season into something that is our advantage to bring us to our destiny. We see it in the life of Joseph. then I saw it all throughout my life that there was crucial decisions made in difficult seasons that will bring about our destiny. And so that's kind of the whole idea of the book. And because two people can go through the exact same hard scenario, one can come out of it bitter, resentful, a victim, angry, their setback. The other can come out of it victorious. They can have a ministry through it. They can have influence through it. So it really matters what you do during difficult times to make it into an unfair advantage.
You know, I love so much about that. Many years ago, I want to say 20 years ago or so, I heard someone sent a sermon to me from somebody who was preaching about favor, the favor of God. And the way he described it was the unfair advantage. And you got this play on words here because you're talking about the unfair things that happen can work to our advantage. Well, when you think of someone who's favored, it does feel like they have an unfair advantage. And I love how in the book you were saying, and maybe I'm getting ahead of myself here, but I do want you to speak to it. The idea, there's almost this inbred entitlement that we just assume it's easier for everybody else. And even to think of that as entitlement, that really is true, where we think everybody else has the unfair advantage. But you're saying every unfair thing that happens is an opportunity, but we've got some choices to make. So speak to that, if you would.
Yeah, actually, if it's been easy for anybody else, then that is actually a disadvantage because it is our difficulties that lead us and shape us and develop us into who God wants us to be. So I tell people often, I'm like, we have missed it. And this is the end of the book, and I don't want to give it all away, but we've missed it because we think we've always been taught kind of it's our personality and our passions make up God's purpose for our life. Because, you know, he designed us in a unique way. He gave us specific passions that'll help us lead and discover our purpose. But in reality, it's not just your personality and your passions. It's also your pain. So if you feel like you've been through extreme pain, it's because there's an extreme purpose on the other side. So the reality is that if you look at anybody that's really a success behind the scenes, there's been long journeys of difficult seasons that they handled well, that God redeemed and used it for his good. So actually, your difficult times don't exempt you. They actually opt you in for a great destiny that God has for you.
I might be asking for amens all day long today. So give me an amen on that one. Someone, we're going to take a break here in just a moment, but I can't help but ask. Right around the time you came to Christ, you're kicked out of Christian school. Yeah. I don't know. at what point did God really show you, I've got a call on your life?
Oh, man. Well, my mom sent me on a missions trip every single summer because I think they wanted us out of the house, but they also really wanted us to experience the world. And it was on that missions trip, I got right with God, came back. I was the worst kid in my high school. I was so bad. I got suspended all the time. And then I started a Bible club in my school because I was so passionate about Jesus. And the principal said, if you're going to do that, if you get one more suspension, you're getting expelled. Well, a month before school comes out, gets over my 11th grade year, I get expelled. And I give the whole story in the book. But the crazy thing, and I can say this just really quickly, is that because I got expelled, I ended up doing dual enrollment, which is kind of a way to do junior college, basically, my last year of high school. I would have never done that if I wouldn't have gotten expelled. I ended up graduating college in 3 years instead of 4 years. On the day of my graduation, I got offered a job as a full-time missionary in the country of Sri Lanka. It was an island off the coast of India that just got hit by a massive tsunami, if you remember the end of 2004. Yep. Well, middle of 2005, I'm on a plane to go there. And as I'm on the plane, I just graduated, I realized I would have never been able to take this opportunity if I didn't graduate in 3 years instead of 4 years. And I only was able to do that because I got expelled my end of my 11th grade year. I realized it was the difficult thing that God put me through that actually led me to the destiny. So I thought it was a setback. It was a setup from God for what he had in my future. Mm. So really, it's remarkable to look back on your life and see how the hand of God and the sovereignty of God was involved in even the difficult seasons.
Wow, we got to take a break here. But, you know, just note that even our mistakes, our missteps, our mess ups, he works all things together for the good, all things together for the good. Talking to author and pastor Aaron Burke, his book is The Unfair Advantage, 7 Keys from the Life of Joseph for Transforming Any Obstacle into an Opportunity. I think you're going to be motivated and encouraged by the time this hour is over. We'll be back in a minute. Hey friends, this is Suzy Larson, host of Suzy Larson Live, and I just want to remind you that October is Pastor Appreciation Month. So if you are a podcast listener who happens to be a pastor, hear me now. I want to say with all my heart, thank you for all that you endure, all that you absorb that nobody ever sees, all that you steward behind the scenes that God sees. With all my heart, I want to say thank you. We at Faith Radio, we bless you. We honor you for your sacrifice. And I pray in the days ahead, God gives you glimpses of glory and fruit from your labor, just enough to encourage you onward, to know that a brighter day awaits you. Keep on keeping on, friend, because you're making a difference. And if you're a podcast listener who has a pastor, which I'm pretty sure that's true, would you honor your pastor? Send them a note. Send them out to dinner. Give them a gift card. Think of a creative way to say, I see you, I honor you, and I bless you for all the hard work you do, most of which I never see, but God does. Thank you, friends, for listening. We love serving you all together, connecting faith to life on Faith Radio. Hope you're having a really great day. Thanks for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live, talking to author, Pastor Aaron Burke, and his book is titled The Unfair Advantage, 7 Keys from the Life of Joseph for Transforming Any Obstacle into an Opportunity. He writes this, your situation might seem hopeless, yet God is forging something beautiful out of the brokenness, putting purpose to your pain, building a better future than your greatest dreams. It all starts with having an unfair advantage. But this is an important point, Aaron. You say just because something terrible or difficult happened, doesn't mean it automatically will be used for good. You say it's available, but it's not automatic. Say more.
Yeah, well, you got to think, I've seen two people deal with tragic scenarios. I had two moms in the youth group, both had 16-year-old children that passed away from cancer. And you got to think that's the worst scenario that you can imagine. And I watched both of those moms and both of them reacted totally different to a absolutely unfair, horrible situation. One of them went through proper healing and grief and counseling and actually ended up using that opportunity to now do ministry to help other people. I saw the other one, and the other one became real victimized, bitter, angry with God, angry with life, and never was able to move forward. And I saw that scenario and go, wow, two people can face an unfair scenario. And one can get really better, and one can move forward, and one can get stuck. What's the difference? It's the decisions you make in that time. And this doesn't even have to be that extreme. It could be you lose a job. How do you react? How do you talk about your previous employer? Or you get a job, and like we saw with Joseph, he's underpaid, undervalued, overworked. How do you respond? And what I do in the book is I outline 7 unfair seasons, unfair times in our life that things happen to us that are difficult that maybe you've never asked for, but how you respond really matters. That determines if it becomes an advantage in your life.
Well, I got to tell you, our audience is growing by leaps and bounds. We've got listeners from all over the world. And, you know, for the longest time, we had just our main audience was serious followers of Christ. And I do think that's still true. But I happen to know that people are stumbling on the dial who have no faith to speak of or they're brand new to their faith. So I don't want to just assume everybody knows Joseph's story. I think a lot do. But would you mind telling us his story and then maybe just some of the standout points to the story that really jump out at you as you were working your way through this material?
Absolutely. Well, Joseph 101 is simply this. There's two Josephs in the Bible. One of them is Jesus's dad. That's the New Testament. We're in the Old Testament, this story. And it's really from a very famous family line. So you got Abraham, who's the father of the faith, Isaac, his son, and then Isaac's sons was Jacob. Jacob had 12 children. The 11th one was a guy by the name of Joseph. And Joseph was the one who got a dream from God at 17 years old. 17 years old, he gets this dream that he's going to rule and reign over his family, over people. Well, he didn't know what to do with that dream. And the reality was, is that God brought him on a journey from 17 years old till he's 30, till he actually ruled over, second in command over all of Egypt. How did it happen? Well, it happened through a scenario of unfair situations, seven of them to be exact. And we see his story where he dreams, nobody believes in his dream. So what do you do when nobody believes in your dream? Well, he makes a decision that's super crucial in that moment. It's the first chapter of the book where he dreams again. The Bible says, and he dreamed another dream. So your decision when nobody else believes in you is to keep dreaming with God, to keep believing that God can use your life even if nobody else does. Well, then the story goes on that his brothers not only didn't believe in his dream, but then they reject him. They sell him off into slavery. And we recognize in that story that it was the rejection from man that actually brought redirection from God. And God redirected his life towards his destiny by man's rejection. And this should encourage some people, because that person that broke up with you, that boss that fired you, that family member that never saw the good in you, and you feel like that rejection was, you know, it was personal. I want to say it was purposeful. There's a reason that rejection happened.
Come on.
Because it's God's way to redirect our life. The story keeps going. It's really phenomenal. He gets sold into slavery. He gets taken into Potiphar's house, the guy in Egypt, and he's a slave. But the Bible says he excelled in Potiphar's house, promoted. If it was me and I get sold off into slavery and you're going to ask me to work, I'm not going to give my best. But Joseph knew something. He knew that he wasn't working for Potiphar. He was working unto the Lord. So Potiphar isn't who promoted him. God promoted him because Joseph did what was right, even if nobody saw it, and even if he wasn't getting paid for it. That is a remarkable lesson, especially for our Gen Z and millennials out there and Gen X that sit there and go, well, I've got to get my dues. And if you don't pay me, then I'm not going to give my effort. But really, you're not working for your job. You're not working for your company. You're working unto the Lord. And his unfair situation, he handled it right, and God promoted him.
You know, it's a remarkable story. It really is. And as you were saying in the first segment, how when I'd heard that message 20 years ago about what the favor of God means, it means to have the unfair advantage. And then you're kind of doing a twist on the words. When the unfair things happen, they can be leveraged. They can be. That doesn't mean they will be, because your choice matters, but can be leveraged to your advantage if you really are trusting God and it's the story you're telling yourself. Well, you know, life happens. And what happened to Joseph seemed like this just monumental, perpetual series of unfortunate events. But if you look at the other people who were in similar scenarios with him, you know, he was a prisoner and a slave, but it looked like he had the unfair advantage among them because he kept rising up to the top because of the choices he made. You know what I'm saying? So it's like it was so unfair. But then as you watch him steward the unfair situation, he does end up with the unfair advantage where it looks like all the power is working in his favor. And, you know, it's so interesting if we don't tell ourselves the right story. I mean, other people are going to see something so different than us. I'm thinking of Paul in prison. He's like, my chains are moving the purposes of God forward. I mean, you could almost hear him declaring, don't cry for me. God is doing huge things in this situation. And boy, this is such a lesson for all of us, don't you think?
It really is a lesson for all of us, because when unfair things happen, we've got to make a decision. How are we going to respond? Because it's not if unfair things happen, it's when.
Yeah.
The diagnosis, the breakup, the scenario that happens at your workplace. And I love to live in the favor of God. I love to see the blessings of God in my life. But difficult times come. And it's actually the difficult seasons that refine us and develop us for the greater things that he has. You know, the Bible says he brings us from glory to glory to glory. And I'm all about that. But I also realize in between the two glories is usually a season of difficulty where he's refining us. So he refines us through unfair scenarios that we sit there and go, I'm frustrated. I'm having to go through this. One of the great questions to ask when you're in just a difficult season is simply this question: God, what are you trying to teach me? What are you trying to teach me? Because he's brought you to that season for a reason. Whether you asked for it or not, which most of the time we haven't, When we're in that difficult time, we say, God, what are you teaching me? Because there's a lesson we're to learn in every unfair season that'll bring us to the next season that God has for us. And Joseph learns it. He learns in season number one to dream again. Season number two, to accept God's redirection in his life. Season number three, he learns, I'm going to work hard, even if nobody notices it. Season number four, which is one that the world needs so much today, is then he's seduced by Potiphar's wife. And he makes an unfair decision, which is, I'm not going to gratify my flesh and give my flesh what it wants. I'm going to choose God's way over what culture says is okay, or what even could help me out in the short run. I mean, he could have gotten easily promoted in the house by, you know, doing whatever Potiphar's wife wanted, but he chose the difficult route of integrity. And integrity is unfair. It's unfair. We can't cheat on our taxes and sleep with whoever we want to sleep with, or watch whatever we want to watch. But the reality is, if you do it God's way, you'll get God's results.
So good. You also said that greatness doesn't happen in a day. It happens day after day. And you write that, you know, it's so important for us to be ready for that promotion. I'm paraphrasing your words, but the idea, some people are holding out for management. They're not doing anything, but they're holding out for management. But the idea of making daily choices so that we are strategically prepared and ready for when God says it's time. Love for you to speak to that.
God is a great steward, and he really believes that our stewardship matters and what he's given us. So if you want the next promotion, handle what God's given you now really, really well. I tell people that are like, I just need a new car. I'm going, great, let's go look at how you're treating the one you have right now. Well, The one I have right now is junk and I don't treat it right. Then why would God give you another one? Because we see all throughout the scripture, he who is faithful with little will be given much. And that's Joseph's story. Joseph was faithful in every season. In the difficult seasons and the seasons of waiting, you got to think, we get very detailed accounts of Joseph's life. 13 years, multiple chapters in the scripture, and not one time do we hear about him being bitter, trying to take revenge on his brothers, trying to get back at people, feeling entitled for a promotion, not once, because he realized how you handle the current season you're in right now determines if God brings you to the next season of your life.
You write this, what if adversity is my greatest advantage and struggle is a setup for a bigger stage? What if man's rejection is many times God's direction? What if obstacles are simply opportunities in disguise? What if what was intended to harm me, God uses for good? As we get ready to go to break, Rosella writes in, she says, it says over and over in Joseph's story that God was with him. She said, because of the murderous hate of his brothers, it was akin to a witness protection program. Very interesting, Rosella. On the other side of the break, Aaron, I'd love for you to speak to the idea of what God, you know, I always say what he allows, he redeems. But as my producer just sent me a quick note, she said, it's so important to make the distinction between what God causes and what God allows. Because we make such a formulaic faith at times, we think God causes cancer. He doesn't. That comes from the pit. So let's talk about that, because there are times where our choices, we fall into consequences of our choices. Scripture does say God won't be mocked. What you sow is what you grow. So let's make that distinction if we can, but also know in all of it, God can redeem it. God wants to redeem it because he's that good. More with Aaron Burke in just a moment. Hope you're having a fantastic day. Thanks for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live, talking to author Pastor Aaron Burke, who's got a new book titled The Unfair Advantage. Our good friend Mark Batterson wrote his foreword. Subtitle is Seven Keys from the Life of Joseph for Transforming Any Obstacle into an Opportunity. We've got a handful of copies to give away. I forgot to mention that at the beginning because we opened with prayer, which was really important. But it's also important to get a copy into your hand. So if you want in on the drawing, text the word book to this number. Hopefully you know it by heart by now. 877 877- 933-2484. 877-933-2484. And Jen says, I've learned that rejection is God's protection for us. So good. Carrie, is it Carrie Berry? Is that really your name, from Ontario? She says, this is so good. Well, we're so glad to have you listening today. And Aaron, before the break, I was talking about the idea of the distinction between what God causes and what he allows. And sometimes we tend to think he's causing the evil in our lives, when I always say what he allows, he redeems. And yet there are times, because scripture also says God will not be mocked. You know, what you sow is what you grow. He's not obligated to keep you healthy if you keep trashing your body, or like you said, keep your car working if you keep trashing it. But even in those scenarios, he's so good to redeem when we humble ourselves. So I love your thoughts on just the distinction between the two.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, our world is very broken. And many times God gets the blame, but the reality is that sin breaks things. It breaks our relationship with God. It breaks our relationship with people. It breaks our planet. I mean, it's broken. And so what we see is the cause of sin. And what I understand with God is that God does not cause our issues and cause our pain, but he can redeem it. And he does redeem it. And that's what he's so good at. We see it with, that's what Jesus came. Jesus came and redeemed our mistakes. So what's good news for everybody that's listening to this today is that you sit there and go, I'm the cause of my problems. I'm the one that, you know, it wasn't, you know, I lost the job because I screwed up, or I ended up getting set back on because I charged too much stuff on my credit card. God can even redeem your unfair things and unfair life, because that's how great he is. But it's a big distinction in the cause and the allow, because you've got to remember the character of God. God is always good.
So good. You write this: developmental seasons are usually dark seasons. Beautiful pictures are developed in what photographers call the dark room. It is the same with life. The developmental years are usually the dark seasons that could be described as overlooked, overanalyzed, overcomplicated, or overextended. But they're also overwhelmingly necessary for where you're going. If you short-circuit the process, you'll eventually short-circuit the product. Hear that again. If you short-circuit the process, you will eventually short-circuit the product. What I love about what you're saying there, and what you said even earlier, Aaron, is that it's true. The scripture talks about, may his favor surround you like a shield. And we talk about going strength to strength, glory to glory. But the reality is, even though we're dearly loved children of God, joint heirs with Christ, there are dark seasons. There are brutal battles. It is unbelievable what happens to God's people on the earth. But Jesus said as much. So I love that you're saying you can still, you know, you can still know that you're loved and purposed by God and walk through these deep, dark seasons, but they don't get to have the last say. So if I'm missing anything, add to it, but I love your comments.
You know, Joseph makes the decision for integrity when it comes to Potiphar's wife. And if I were writing the story, after that decision, he would have got promoted to second in command over all of Egypt, but he didn't. That was actually about 2 to 3 years into the journey. And for the next 10 years of Joseph's story, he would be in prison in a dark season. And I looked at that going, you can do the right thing and have a bad outcome. But as long as you're honoring God, God can redeem it. So I just find some hope in that, because there's sometimes I've made the right choice. I've tithed when it was difficult to tithe. I've showed up sometimes and served when I could have been doing other things, but I made the right choice, even if it didn't give me the right outcome immediately, because we can trust God's process. If I can share a really cool revelation that I give in the book, that's one of my favorite in all of the book, and I don't want to give it all away, but I sat there and debated with God for a while going, 10 years, why in the world did Joseph have to spend 10 years in prison? And then I started researching ancient prison systems. You know, this is 4,000 years ago. Prison wasn't a thing back then, except in the ancient Egyptian world. What they did is they took people and put them in a prison, but their prison wasn't there to punish them. It was there to reprogram them. So they would take citizens, put them in there, and what they would do is they would take the greatest educators in Egypt. And I've got all the stats and all the research in the book about it. And they would send these educators into the prison systems to teach the prisoners. And then the light bulb came on. God took a man from hundreds of miles away, brought him to a country that he doesn't know the culture, doesn't know the language, doesn't know how to lead the people in that country. And he brings them to school for 10 years so that when he gets out, he's now educated to lead. And it gave me so much hope to realize there is a great purpose in every prison season you're in. There's something God's trying to teach you. There's something God's trying to reveal to you. There's a lesson you're going to learn. And everybody loves the mountaintop experiences. But let me be very honest with you. You learn life's greatest lessons in the valley. But I think one of your listeners said it. It was one of my favorite things I saw when I researched the life of Joseph is the amount of times where he says, the Lord was with him. The Lord was with him. So it's a dark season, but it's not a season you're alone. People might not be with you, but God is with you. Nobody else might have your back. God's got your back. You might not think there's a plan, but God's got a divine plan, and there's a purpose in your prison right now.
Who needed to hear that? Somebody text me an amen if you needed to hear that. There's a purpose in your prison. There is deliverance even in those dark seasons. And I think, you know, this is why we always have hope and we never give up. We are tethered to a good God. He's promised to work not some things, but all things together for our good. So somehow, some way, we've got to keep our eyes on him and trust that he is who he says he is. And as you said in the book, some things we won't see the fulfillment of and the revelation around until eternity. But if we can remember, life on earth is short, eternity is long, and that, you know, if we keep looking to this life to have all of our questions answered here and all of our story tied up in a nice bow here, I think we will be perpetually disappointed. But if we can remember, this is a short, short part of the journey. It's the hardest part of the journey, but his promises still stand. What a difference that makes in our perspective, right?
Absolutely. The eternal perspective is such a hope we have as believers that God is not to be mocked. Whatever a man sows, he shall also reap. And he is a great rewarder of us. I mean, if we just diligently seek him. But the reality is that we're not going to see all of those rewards right now. One day we're going to stand before him and he's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. We did what we were called to do. And I think about our missionaries around the world. I think of people right now in the 1040 window that are giving their life for the gospel and seeing one or two converts come along in their whole lifetime. But really, we serve a God that when we look back centuries later, God brings about the fruit. And sometimes it's way after our lifetime. But that's why we have all of heaven and all of eternity to rejoice of all that God did, even through our little bit of effort here on this earth to honor him.
I want to start again. You know, you've got these seven unfair advantages in Joseph's story and what we can learn about them. I want to just, we've got a few minutes before a break here. The first one we touched on, but it's the discouraged dreamer. But the aspect of it I want to talk about was just the way his brothers treated him and about how we deal with our critics. Because as soon as you start to dream, you're going to encounter critics. And often they're in your base camp, which is so painful. But you said the world is full of critics who have settled for far less than God's best for their lives. Many times, these are the people whose opinions are the loudest in our ears when they see other people stepping out to accomplish something big. Say a word about that, if you would.
You know, everybody experiences this in their life. Jesus himself, you know, if anybody shouldn't have had critics, it was Jesus. He's the Son of God. And yet the Pharisees who had settled in their religious lifestyle missed out because they were criticizing the very one that could save them. And that is always what happens. When someone starts dreaming, people that have settled start to criticize. And what I have learned in my life is that that criticism always comes when I am really at a place where I have settled for less than what God has in my life. So I start criticizing other people. I start saying, oh, that passion will die out. Oh, there's no way that can happen. If it hasn't happened for me, it won't happen for you. But we are just so, we have overestimated how great we are and how underestimated how great God is, because God is so unbelievably amazing what he can do through a life that's surrendered. So my challenge for you is don't listen to the critics. Listen to your creator. He's the one that has formed and fashioned and authored and perfected your faith. So as long as God keeps dreaming over my life, I'm going to keep believing the best is yet to come. And that we serve a God that can do exceedingly, abundantly, above all we can ask, think, or imagine. And I just want to keep that perspective in front of me. Let me just say one more thing about this, because many times it happens in life that the older we get, the more we settle because of experience. We get to a place where we go, my experience tells me this. And really what Acts 2 tells us is that when the Holy Spirit is poured out, when we experience the Holy Spirit, we start to dream again. And my challenge for some listeners that are out there today is you've listened to critics and you've listened to your experience, and it's kept you from all that God has. And I feel like the Holy Spirit even had you tuning in today just to let you know you can dream again. Your best days can still be in front of you. There can still be breakthrough in your future. I even give outlines in the book of some of the great people that were used to change the world that they didn't even get used to change the world till they were in their 60s, 70s, 80s. There's hope for people who are more mature in their age to dream again, to believe God for great things.
Wow. With that, we're going to take a break. Excellent word. And Aaron Burke writes this: success will not come from something handed to you, but from how you handle something difficult. Everybody's walking through something. Everybody's bleeding under their armor in some way. All of us have something in our story we wish was different than it is. And yet we serve a God who loves us, sees our whole story, and will take everything about our lives and turn it into something magnificent if we'll trust him. Aaron Burke is my guest today. The Unfair Advantage is his book, and we will be back in a minute.
I'm Angela Smith, host of Reading the Bible Together. And have you ever read the book of Matthew? You know, at the very beginning when it has the whole genealogy of Jesus, and read or tried to read through those difficult names and thought, who are these people? What are their stories? You know, why are they listed here? In our next reading plan, we're going to be looking at five of the women in Jesus's genealogy. It's called Unexpected, Five Women in the Lineage of Jesus. We're going to take a look at Tamar. Who was she? You know, what is her story? We're going to look at Rahab and Ruth and Bathsheba and Mary, Jesus's mother. All the women who you're going to hear on the podcast have contributed to the study guide. You can get your hands on that study guide at myfaithradio.com and sign up. I sure hope that you'll do this study with us so that the next time you go and read Jesus's genealogy, you'll recognize some of those names and know some of those stories. You can get that study guide at myfaithradio.com, and you can listen to Reading the Bible Together podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
Thanks for tuning in today to Suzy Larson Live. I'm Suzy, and talking to Aaron Burke today. He's a pastor and the author of the book, The Unfair Advantage, Seven Keys from the Life of Joseph for Transforming Any Obstacle into an Opportunity. And he writes like he speaks. There's so many amens coming in today. Amen. This is so good. Oh, I needed to hear this today. We love hearing from you. I think I've told you this, but texting is like one of my love languages. When you text, I know you're out there. I know that we're resonating with you. Helps me so much. And I'm so grateful to bring you this program today to encourage you to know that every aspect of your story matters to God. And as we're walking through these seven unfair advantages, there are unfair things that happen to Joseph. And like you said, Aaron, just because something happens that's difficult doesn't mean it's automatically going to be used for good unless you engage with God in it and trust God to redeem it. So we talked about the discouraged dreamer. I want to talk about the redirected reject. And you'd said this earlier in the show, but I've really got to circle around to talk about this rejection. Because at the end of this chapter, you ask some important questions. And we're going to list these in the show notes. These are five questions that Aaron asks in the book that I think we need to do some work around. And so I'm going to ask each one at a time and just have you speak to them. And friends, again, if you dare, just in some time with the Lord, sit down with these questions, because I think you'll get to the bottom of something here. We've been talking a lot on the show about identity. It's a very big deal, your identity in Christ. And I think this will help unearth some things. So the first question is, what rejection has most defined your life? And first, I'd love for you to speak to it, Aaron, but if you feel so led, I'd be interested to know how you'd answer that question.
Yeah, well, you got to think that Joseph's greatest rejection was from his family. And actually that rejection led him to Egypt to fulfill what God had planned for his life. So normally it's our greatest rejection that is actually a huge signpost pointing right at our destiny of what God has for us. So maybe that's a tragic divorce someone has walked through, or rejection in a job, or maybe you tried to build a business and it didn't work. You rejected in that. For mine, my greatest rejection was what I shared earlier. I was expelled from high school. I felt like I was really passionate about the Lord. I was so excited. I had just gotten saved. And then my life fell apart. And I actually slipped into like some depression and felt like, God, where are you at? But I didn't understand how God works. God actually uses those terrible seasons that, again, I don't think he causes, but he uses for his glory. And that that rejection redirected my life in such a way that I was able to go on the mission field because of that. And then I was able to start a business because of that. And then I sold that business and I was able to use that money to start a church in Tampa. And now we have 10 locations all across the Tampa Bay area. God's been able to do supernatural things, and it all comes back to that original rejection. So maybe your listeners are here today and they're thinking and going, I'm trying to forget about that season of my life. My challenge for them is leverage it for God's glory. Maybe your greatest misery is actually part of the ministry God wants to do through you.
I just got to jump up and shout. I need to ask for an amen for one thing. But friend, I'm going to ask you, we call this sort of the no fluff zone. We're very raw and honest on this show. So friends, if you feel so led, and I'll make every response be anonymous. I won't read any names. But I would love for you to answer that question. What rejection has most defined your life? And I pray you heard what Aaron just said. When you look at the trail, your story has been like Joseph's in some ways. And look at what God did and how he's established you. And I don't even think obviously you've not seen the whole story, Aaron. When you get to heaven, you're going to be amazed. But I mean, even now, what he's allowed you to see, experience, and do because of you trusted him. Amazing. So text me, friends. What rejection has most defined your life? Can you text me 877-933-2484? Okay, number two question. Who is the person who's rejected you the most? How would you answer that? And what do you want us to know about that question?
You know, the people that reject us the most many times is the people closest to us. And they say things that they don't mean to say, and they do things that they don't need to do. Really, many times the problem is that we serve a God that has so much power to do something through our brokenness, but we're around people that only see our brokenness, and they don't see the potential on the other side. So you got to think about that. I think of people in my life that even when I told them, I feel like I'm called to do ministry, I'm called to start a church. You know, many times it was the rejection from them that it solidified in me the fact that, does God really have a calling on my life? You know, you don't want to live in that world where everybody's like, yeah, we're just going to give you a yes. No, sometimes it's the rejection of people that really solidify what God wants to do in you. My challenge for people today is, whoever that person is that you got to let go of the bitterness against them. Because really, God can even have used them to bring that rejection that'll push you towards the destiny God has for you. So release the bitterness, release the unforgiveness, let it go.
When you think about Joseph, he had to have been doing that daily work. I mean, obviously his emotions surfaced when he was, you know, reunited with his brothers, but he still, I would say, got there rather quickly where he could say, don't blame yourselves for what you did to me, because what was intended for evil, God has used for good. You don't get there overnight. And I think just stewarding his hurt in the right way prepared him for that promotion. And he had to see enough favor on his life to go, no way would this dream that God gave me when I was a teen happen any other way? And I think that helps too when you get the bigger vision of what God is up to. You realize he's using different people and he's using even their weaknesses to propel you where he wants you to go. It's amazing.
Absolutely. You know, one day you're going to look back and you're going to thank him. And I think you're going to have such faith and see how God used it. I can't. You know, that the principal that expelled me, I really was angry towards this guy for a long time, until I got on that plane 4 years later and was living on the mission field and only able to get there because of that. Now, if I see him, I want to give him a big kiss on the cheek. He was used by God to actually bring about what God had planned for my life. So one day you're going to thank him.
Wow, so good. We're almost out of time. So I'm going to read through these questions and see if I can get one more question out of you. So what rejection has most defined your life? Who's the person who's rejected you the most? Have you released your bitterness to the Lord? What do you need to do to move past your hurt? And then how has God used rejection to become a chain of events to lead you toward his ultimate direction? And Aaron, we're really toward the end here. So I want you just to say, what do you know about God now that you didn't know as well, maybe 5, 10 years ago?
You know, he's a God that is unbelievably strategic in how he uses our life. And we, you know, if we could draw out the plan, then we would draw out really, really simple and really, really clean. And it would be from point A to point B, but that's not how God works. Here's why. Because God is not interested in you getting to your destination. He's interested in your development. He's not interested in even you being someone that does something great with your life. He's interested in you being conformed into the image of Christ. So on the path, we miss Joseph's story because we think Joseph's story is about him becoming second in command over all of Egypt. And if people don't know the story, pick up the book and pick up my book, but also pick up the Bible. The Bible tells you the whole story. But the reality is Joseph's story was not just about him becoming second in command. It was about all the lessons along the way that we're still learning from today. So your story, it's not just about you starting that business or raising those kids or getting married one day or becoming a success in your career. Your story is about who you're becoming along the way. God's got something for you in this season, in this time. There's a reason behind what you're going through right now. And it might not make sense right now, but we live life forward, but we understand it backwards. You're going to understand it one day.
Well, Aaron, the vote is in. Somebody just texted a yelling text. Get him back again. So our time is up. I'm saving your book. I pray you'll join us again. We'd love to pick up the conversation. There's so much more to talk about. But thank you for stewarding your difficulties so we could learn from your story, Aaron. Thank you for joining us today.
It was an honor to be with you. So excited about what God's doing.
Looking forward to our next conversation. Aaron Burke is my guest. Title of his book is The Unfair Advantage. I hope you are just charged up, ready to trust God, steward your story. God's doing great things and he's not finished yet. We'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to Suzy Larson Live. Podcasts like mine are available because of your support. If it's important to you to hear things that encourage your faith, click the link in the show notes and give now.